أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. For those who've just joined us on this night, we've been talking about the importance of this day and age as those who believe in the coming of the awaited Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. That it's important for us to prepare ourselves for his coming. And we said that in order to prepare, there are many things to consider, some of which we had discussed in Detroit. We continued with that topic. And we said one important thing that is very necessary, one of the qualities of the companions of our Imam, will be the quality of basira, insight. And one aspect of that is to be able to, in the difficult situations, in social issues, when there's turmoil and there's different sides pulling us, and we're trying to make a decision, we've got to figure out which side to choose, and therefore we have to categorize the leaders and the leadership and these different movements. We have believers, we have the kuffar, and we have the munafiqeen. And we said that the more difficult one to identify is or are the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. We promised that we would be discussing how to identify a hypocrite from a true believer. First thing we need to do, and it's very important, is to define what exactly is hypocrisy. Because some of the definitions that we probably think of when we talk about the concept of hypocrisy, one of the reasons why we think or we can't identify the munafiqs that are truly the munafiqs amongst the believers is because of our thought and the way we think of hypocrisy. What we usually consider hypocrisy is where someone does not believe in the religion at all, does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not believe in the Prophet, does not believe in the Ahlul Bayt, but they portray themselves as believing. They act as though they believe, but in their heart there is no sign of belief whatsoever. This is what we commonly think of a hypocrite. The problem is only considering that a hypocrite. Otherwise, yes, that is You know, if you have that, then you definitely have a hypocrite. The verse that we recited yesterday about hypocrisy, verse 8 of Surah Baqarah, talks about hypocrites of that nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. From the people are those who say they believe in Allah and the last day, yet they don't believe. What are they doing? They're deceiving Allah and the believers, but in reality, they're deceiving no one but themselves, but they don't realize it until it's too late. Now, what that exactly means, the latter part of the verse, or actually verse number 9 of the surah, I don't want to get into right now. But basically, this is one type of hypocrite. But brothers and sisters, this is not the only type of hypocrite. Hypocrisy is not only defined in that way. If we fail to understand this, and that sometimes hypocrites do actually believe, they do have faith, but they're still hypocrites. If we fail to realize that and understand it, we're going to have a serious problem identifying the tough munafiqeen to identify when issues come up. We think that in order for one to be a munafiq, they have to be kafir. They have to be disbelievers at heart. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Let me expand on this a bit. When we want to consider someone bad, this is a serious problem, the way we look at things. When we want to consider somebody bad, to stay away from, if we can't come to the conclusion that they're kafir and innately evil, then we can't consider them bad people. This is a problem. When we analyze history, we do it in that way as well. A couple of examples. When we want to talk about Yazid, for example, there's a great effort to attribute certain poetry to Yazid to say, oh, he stated over there that he does not believe. See, we told you he doesn't believe. It's an important part of our belief that Yazid is a bad person. If we don't prove that, we don't consider him as bad of a person as if we do. Or for those who took away the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, there's a great effort put to try to prove that they were not even Muslim at all. They bring certain reports in history books to say, oh, I told you, see, this guy, he was actually a Jew. There are some that say that. He was a Jew, not a Muslim, never accepted Islam. That's why he's a very bad person. He's a monster disguised as a human being. And if we can't do that, then there's a problem. No, they've got to be non-Muslims, non-believers, just claiming to be believers. But that's not the case, brothers and sisters. I'll give you the worst example where we know for a fact, according to the Holy Quran, this is, if not the worst individual, one of the worst people, and yet he is a believer, whether we like it or not. Do you know anyone that is worse than Shaitan himself or Iblis? Iblis, is the cause why many, many, many different people have deviated from the path. According to the Holy Quran, Adam being the first man, he tasted that. He was deceived by Shaitan, by Iblis. Shaitan technically means those who do mischief, and Iblis is one of them. We have Shayateen, we don't have only one Shaitan. But anyhow, Iblis, one of the causes of deviation for so many people, this individual called Iblis, according to the Holy Quran, he's a believer. He believes. On the Day of Judgment, he will tell those who disbelieved in God and the mushrikeen that I disbelieve in what you believe in from the beginning. Shaitan's problem wasn't his disbelief in God, he believed in God. He's going to be burning eternally in the hereafter, not because he did not believe God exists, but because he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did not practice that faith. A lot of times, for those who are interested in this topic, many, many different cases, according to some scholars, actually the majority of cases where the Holy Quran refers to kuffar and mentions the word kufr, it is not referring to kufr in faith. It is kufr in obedience to Allah or to the Prophet or to the Imams. So the concept of, that was about kufr. In hypocrisy too, it's not necessarily such that you'll find someone that disbelieves and has no faith in their heart at all, and they only portray themselves as being Muslim, for us to consider that a munafiq. That is definitely a munafiq, but there are other munafiqeen as well. If we don't realize this, we have a difficulty identifying the munafiqeen. Because what is commonly said when you talk about and describe some of the munafiqeen, or sometimes mention them by name, they're like, but that man, you know, he speaks of religion so great. He has caused so many people to start to pray. How can we accept him as being a munafiq? Well, that's because the way we thought of nifaq and hypocrisy, we're not able to identify that individual as a munafiq. Another point regarding that, again, going back to the analysis of history, we make a lot of mistakes on that, brothers and sisters. Because of that mistake, the way we picture history, that causes us not to be able to apply that to today's context and try to identify the munafiqeen and the kuffar and the mu'mineen from one another. As I said, we believe, we think that those who took the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayh, were these very bad people from the beginning. Although they had problems, I'm not trying to defend them by any means. The individuals that went to Karbala, that crime that they committed there is worse than any other crime. They don't have to say we disbelieve. You know, in Karbala, they actually prayed. They said, let's finish the job so we can, or before the prayer time comes in, so we can do the dhuhr prayer as jama'ah. Get the rewards for that. Some people did that thinking that this is qurbatan ila Allah. We're getting, reaching proximity to Allah. Does that mean that's a good person? Just because they had faith, but they committed this crime. No, they're not good people. Thinking of those who went against Amir al-Mu'mineen when he came to power, They weren't always bad people. They weren't these monsters. The first people that went against them were Talha and Zubayr. Who were they? Zubayr is an individual that after the Prophet, he was one of the ones that was ready to put his life on the line to save Amir al-Mu'mineen and the position that he was supposed to have. He was one of the revolutionary people, if we were to name him based on today's terminology that we use. He was one of the revolutionary guys. For 25 years, and he's the first to go and stand against Amir al-Mu'mineen. We have to identify and understand nifaq the way it is. No, nifaq and hypocrisy does not mean that these people do not have faith at all. No. I'll give you some Quranic references. The first reference we gave was a case where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqs that are disbelievers. They just portray themselves as believers. We say salawat. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqeen, as we said, in a number of occasions. In one of them, can't find the Arabic right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of them describes the munafiqeen in this way, that he says the munafiqeen are those who, when they stand to pray, they qamu kusala. They do pray, but when they stand to pray, they are drowsy in their prayer. They don't have the concentration. Now you may say, well, it's not very clear. Maybe they're just portraying themselves as they're praying. And that's why the Quran is saying that. And it says they do riya in that prayer. Maybe, well, they don't really believe. That's why. But then it says, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Dhikr is something in the heart. The Quran says they do remember God. That means they have faith. They believe. They really believe. You can't remember God in that way unless you really believe. It says they do remember God, but very little. And it attributes nifaq to them. It says they are the munafiqeen. Many other verses as well. So when we look at the Holy Quran, the description of nifaq doesn't always include the idea of kufr that is disguised in iman. No. Sometimes iman is there too, but there's still nifaq. Now, this quality or this trait of nifaq, it is a very dangerous trait, brothers and sisters. Since we're talking about preparation for the coming of the 12th Imam, although we're going to, and we are going to, inshallah, talk about nifaq in a way to be able to identify the munafiqeen and the leaders of nifaq. But before that, and I think more importantly, we've got to look for nifaq or the traces of nifaq in ourselves, brothers and sisters. Nifaq is a very dangerous trait. It creeps its way in. And if we're not careful, you and I could be the munafiqeen at the time of the Imam. The munafiqs at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, at the time of Imam Hussein, at the time of Imam al-Mujtaba, they weren't always the munafiqs. They weren't always the very bad people. Ibn Muljam, which God may curse him, who committed that crime, up to a few months before he committed the crime, he would go to Amir al-Mu'mineen to get his share of the Baytul Mal. There were certain lands that were taken by the Muslimin that were called al-Aradi al-Khirajiyya. Whatever income came from them was supposed to be distributed amongst the Muslims equally. Every single individual had a share. Ibn Muljam would go there to collect his share. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi told him that there will come a time that you will cause the color of my beard to turn red from the blood of my head. And Ibn Muljam tells the Imam, please kill me. I don't want to commit such a crime. I don't want to kill you. Imam says, no, you haven't committed any crime yet. But then he goes ahead and commits that crime. Nifaq is a very creepy thing. If we're not careful of it, it can creep its way into our lives, into our personalities, and cause us to be the worst enemies of the Imam of our time. Shimr ibn Dhul-Jawshan, another example. He was the worst person in Karbala. Anywhere anybody wanted to change and go back to the religion, go back to the Imam, or at least go away from doing and committing this crime, it was Shimr that would bring them back. Umar ibn Sa'd didn't want to do the job. He was trying to get away from it. He went as a commander to Karbala. He was trying to get away from it. He was trying to, you know, get the Imam to agree to something, or at least Ubaydullah to just say, okay, let him go somewhere else. Let's not fight this man. That it was Shimr that went and spoke to Ubaydullah. When he came to Karbala, he caused Umar ibn Sa'd to continue with that. The crimes, the worst of the crimes, I don't want to explain, it's too difficult to even mention that. The worst of the crimes were committed by Shimr. But this Shimr is one of the people that went with Amir al-Mu'mineen to Safin and fought alongside Amir al-Mu'mineen. If we're not careful, inshallah, right now, we are good people, inshallah. We're talking about awaiting the coming of the Imam, but there's no guarantee. And nifaq is the worst trait that could get into us. You know why? Because as the verse says, and we'll explain the other aspects of this, the verse of Surah Baqarah, after describing the nifaq itself, then it says, one of the qualities of the munafiqeen is this: when they are told, don't cause corruption on the earth, they will turn back and say what? They will say, innama nahnu muslihun. We are trying to cause reform. We're trying to help. Then the Holy Quran says, ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون. They actually think they're doing good. That's a problem. There's a concept the Holy Quran tells us about something called إذلال. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we read the verse too, يخادعون. I didn't want to get into this, but just a couple of words. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they're trying to fool God and deceive God, but Allah deceives them. This concept of God and divine deception, yes, God deceives people. God causes deviation for people, but only if they want it. But if they want it and they move forward, and God forbid, if we do that, there will come a time people will be telling us, why are you doing this? You're causing corruption. We'll be like, no, actually, you guys are doing that. You are causing the corruption. I'm just trying to fix things up. And we don't realize that. It's very dangerous. Now, a couple of things that we find as what would cause the nifaq to creep its way into our life. Some of them are found in the Holy Quran. There's one hadith I will read to you, and I'll give you the references of the Holy Qur'an in some of those cases as well. Recite a salawat. The Imam says, according to this narration, that إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقَ يَنْهَى وَلَا يَنْتَهِي. One of the qualities of munafiq, we're talking about it now, let's look at ourselves and let's see if we do this or not. He's very good with telling others, don't do this, don't do the other, you're committing a sin, what you're doing is wrong. But when they tell him or her, he doesn't listen. Finding problems in other people's behavior and always telling others, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Oh, this guy is, you know, saying things wrong. But when it comes to themselves, when they're told that certain things are bad, we shouldn't be doing it, we're not willing to accept. Something I think I look at myself, that's a problem. That's a serious problem. We don't like to be told not to do something. It's very easy for us to go ahead and tell others, but to accept that we have actually done wrong, no. وَيَأْمُرُ وَلَا يَأْتِي. He tells people to do this. This is what's right. This is what needs to be happening. This is what we need to do. This is what you need to do. But when it comes to actually doing it, they're never there. وَإِذَا قَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اِعْتَرَضَ قُلْتُ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَمَا الْإِعْتِرَاضِ قَالَ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ. Says when they go to pray, they start, their mind and their attention moves away from that. Their mind is not in prayer. The description that we find in the Holy Quran, when they get up to pray, this is for the believers, that's why I mentioned it, brothers and sisters. Yes, we can be having small traces of hypocrisy, because remember, these qualities and these traits are not absolute, that you either have it or you don't. No, there's degrees to them. We may have traces, small dosages of it. We need to become aware of that, try to get rid of it. Otherwise, as we said, gradually it may creep its way in. When they pray, they don't have concentration. How many of us do have concentration? I'm looking at myself. When we pray, do we realize who we are speaking to? Are we actually speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are we just saying words that we don't understand? Just trying to get it. There's a lot of hadith in regards to prayer, brothers and sisters, and how to pray. Some of the prayers that we perform are like what the Prophet said to the companions. He was sitting in the masjid, a guy came in, a Muslim. He went to the corner, started praying, was doing it so quickly. The Prophet said, that's not praying. That's like a crow pecking the ground for food. If this man, this is the words of the Prophet, if he leaves this world and that's the way he prays, he's not one of us. Some of the ways that we pray are like that, God forbid. Others, it's not that quick, but there's no concentration in it. You probably, or you may have heard this from me. It's funny, but terrifying too if it happens to us. But a scholar was saying this, and I don't think it's too far-fetched either. This guy, he said, when I was speaking, this guy came into the majlis, and he started praying. And obviously, you know, when you lecture, you have your attention to the people and exactly what people are doing. If you see someone's distracting others, then you get distracted yourself. So I was paying attention to this guy when I was speaking. And I see he gets up and prays, and then afterwards he takes out a pen and paper, he starts writing something down. And then he puts it down, he gets up and prays again. Afterwards, he does the same thing. Third prayer, fourth prayer. After the majlis, I want to afterwards. Okay, I understand praying, but why were you writing things down? He said, I have a problem remembering things. There's a lot of things I have that I forget. When I get up to pray, they all come to me. So after the prayer, I pray to be able to remember them. God forbid, this is how our prayers are. I mean, it's funny, but God forbid. With our occupations, with this dunya and work and this and that, we need to find the time to be able to improve our salat. Otherwise, that can gradually lead, God forbid. وَإِذَا رَكَعَ رَبَذَ Pretty much the same concept. يُمْسِي وَهَمُّهُ الْعِشَاءُ وَهُوَ مُفْطِرُ Basically, the Imam is saying they're constantly, the worry that they have, what's important to them, is just the pleasures of this life. In the evening, the only thing they're thinking of is dinner time and eating. وَيُصْبِحُ وَهَمُّهُ النَّوْمُ وَلَمْ يَسْهَرُ Is when morning time comes, he's asleep. And the only thing that is important to him is his sleep. And he has not woken up during the night for the prayers. إِنْ حَدَّثَكَ كَذَبَكَ وَإِنْ اِتَمَنْتَهُ خَانَكَ If he speaks to you, he lies. That's one of the qualities of nifaq, brothers and sisters. Lying. And it's something that's very common amongst us, unfortunately. We lie for a lot of different reasons. The least of the dangerous ones are the cases where we lie as a joke. Amir al-Mu'mineen has said, person is not going to taste the true taste of iman and faith until they stop lying, even as a joke. Lying is one of those qualities. If we hear, oh, it's a white lie. It was okay. No, it's not okay. وَإِنْ اِتَمَنْتَهُ خَانَكَ Another common thing amongst us, that we don't respect the trust that we are entrusted with. We're given something, and we don't hold that trust. It's very common amongst us. And we think that, oh, you know, these things are not very important. No. Maybe one little thing here or there is not too important, but it would lead to the concept of nifaq. وَإِنْ غِبْتَ اغْتَابَكَ Another very common thing. When you're not in his presence, they start backbiting. They have two faces. There's another hadith that talks about ذُلْ لِسَانَيْن Person who has two tongues. When they're with you, oh, salamu alaykum, how are you? You're such a good brother. Once you leave their presence, oh, did you know this guy? Ah, I saw him here or there. It's very common. I mean, it's funny. We find it funny, but it's very common amongst us. Very common. Don't be surprised if the imam comes and we're on the wrong side. It sounds simple. It sounds simple, but it's not. These, the ghibah, yes, backbiting. It leads to that. وَإِنْ وَعَدَكَ أَخْلَفَكَ This is another thing that the Holy Quran has stressed upon. I'll read you a verse in that regard. Recite a salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعيش
It's about breaking an oath, breaking a promise, giving a word, then going against it. Again, something very common amongst us. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verses that lead to verse 77, describes some people who, he's mentioned them as being the munafiqeen before. But then he says in verse 75, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. They make a pledge to God, another, in a way. If God gives us, we will give charity, we'll be very good people. But then, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. A lot of times when we make these prayers to God to give us things, we do the same thing too. God, if I only get this job, I'll do this and that. And once we get it, we forget about all we said. Of course, this is the general concept. The hadith said, was talking about people amongst themselves making a commitment, okay, making a pledge, giving their word and going against it. The verse is talking about doing that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In both cases, it leads to nifaq. It's one of the traits of a munafiq. So, when Allah gives them, they forget about all of that and they don't do it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. This is a very scary verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Allah, then when they did that, He will put this hypocrisy in their hearts until the day that they will meet Him. Why? بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ. Because they went against the pledge they had made with God. وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. And because of their lying. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الواحي وخزان العين ومنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O household of prophethood. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imams. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O my beloved oppressed Imams. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم أيها الشيد بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Huzayn, the oppressed Imam, the Imam that was kept thirsty by the shores of the Euphrates. صلى الله عليكم. There's a person in Karbala that when he went to the battlefield, the way the reports are about the event, it was different compared to the others that went to the battlefield. When the battle began in the morning, the different companions went up to fight. They said amongst themselves, brothers, let's not allow any of the Bani Hashim to get killed while we're alive. They showed their loyalty to the Imam, to tuck the swords and arrows with their bodies to protect the Imam and his family. But a time came in Karbala that all the companions that weren't Bani Hashim had all become shaheed. The turn came for Bani Hashim to go. When others came and asked for permission, the Imam wasn't so quick to give replies and to tell them to go to the battlefield. But the first of Bani Hashim that decided to go and show his respect to the Imam of his time is the oldest son of the Imam, Ali ibn al-Akbar. Ya Abata, O father, do I have permission to go and fight? According to the report, Imam al-Husayn passes his test very quickly. O son, go ahead to the battlefield. The difference is here, brothers and sisters. Imagine your Imam. When Ali al-Akbar is moving towards the enemy, Imam al-Husayn, his father, looks at Ali al-Akbar with his beard in his hands. Ya Allah, I take you as a witness. I'm sending to the swords and to the arrows أشبه الناس خلقا وخلقا برسولك. Ali al-Akbar goes to the battlefield. Imagine Imam al-Husayn watching the enemy come towards Ali al-Akbar. They say Ali fought a good battle. According to one report, after a while of fighting, there was a call coming from the battlefield by Ali ibn al-Akbar. Ya Abata, al-Atashu qad qatalani. The thirst is killing me, O father. Ali, go ahead and fight. Your grandfather's awaiting you with water. Ali ibn al-Akbar fought his battle until his call came, Ya Abata. The Holy Prophet is giving you his salam. He's brought me water. Imam al-Husayn, went to the battlefield. But this time, as I said, it was different. Someone else went to the battlefield as well. They saw Hazrat Zainab running. Ya Ali, wa Huzaina. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرام بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها لكي يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله, we ask you to hasten the return of our Imam. Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam, by the right of Hazrat Zahra Salamullah alayh, that you enable us to get rid of our problems and prepare for the coming of our Imam. Wallah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to make us capable of being the actual companions and the true companions of our Imam. Oh Allah, prolong the life of and give good health to all our Maraja and especially our leader. Oh Allah, we ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam. Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. We ask you to forgive our parents and all those who've taught us the word in Islam of their sins. Oh Allah, we ask you to relieve all the oppressed people throughout the world and especially the believers of oppression. Oh Allah, we ask you to relieve all those under hardship, especially the people of Haiti and the believers there of the hardship that they're facing. O Allah, we ask you to grant us what we asked and all those things that we need and we neglected to ask. Please grant us all of them. InshaAllah, bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallahu man qara al-Fatiha ta'a as-salam.